This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, this is Your Health Quickly, a Scientific American podcast series.
We bring you the latest vital health news, discoveries that affect your body and your mind.
And we break down the medical research to help you stay healthy. I'm Tanya Lewis.
I'm Josh Fishman.
We're Scientific American's senior health editors. Today we're doing a follow-up episode on the best ways to use home COVID antigen tests. This time, we're looking at whether you get more accurate results if you swab your throat as well as your nose. We'll also talk about the new CDC guidelines about how long to isolate if you're positive.
It's February, and COVID levels are still quite high in the U.S. They're way above what the CDC describes as epidemic levels, which means that a lot of people are sick, including me, as it turns out, though I may just have a bad cold.
Oh, man, that's rough. It seems like I'm constantly hearing about a friend or coworker testing positive for COVID. And that means a lot of people are taking home tests.
Last month, you and I talked about a frustrating wrinkle in those test results.
Yeah, people who got symptoms and tested right away were getting negative results, even though they were actually infected. And that seems to be because your immune system is now familiar enough with the virus to react quickly and cause symptoms like a runny nose or stuffy nose. But the virus itself hasn't built up to high enough levels in your nose to trigger a positive test result. In other words, it's a false negative.
If you wait a few days after symptoms start, say 2 to 4 days, and then you test, you're more likely to get an accurate result. But that's frustrating, right? You know you're sick with something, and you don't want to pass COVID around. But until you know for sure, you stay home or you keep your kids home from school. And then maybe it turns out to be a winter cold or the flu.
It's a good idea to stay home if you have any respiratory infection if you can, even if it's not COVID. Even the flu kills thousands of vulnerable people every year. Still, it would be nice to know if you could reduce those early false negatives with COVID tests and find out if you actually do have the virus.
That's why a lot of people are talking about swabbing their throat in addition to the nose. Two of our listeners, Anne and J.D. Stillwater of Pennsylvania, emailed us to ask how accurate throat swabbing is. There are a bunch of online videos touting that method now.
Stand in front of a mirror. Wipe the soft tip of the swab around the back of the throat as shown.
That was the UK Health Security Agency, the equivalent of our CDC.
I've heard of that approach before. In fact, I've swabbed my own throat on several occasions when I wanted to make extra sure I wasn't missing an infection. But it's a surefire way to gag. Is it actually more accurate?
It could be. Some scientists believe that early in an infection, the virus replicates more in the throat than in the nose. So you'd be more likely to collect more virus. When it comes to studies of accuracy, they've mostly been on small numbers of people. And some of those studies say that throats are more accurate. Others say they're not more accurate. Now, what seems to be one of the biggest and one of the more carefully done studies on throat swabs was just published in December. So we thought we'd go straight to one of the researchers.
My name is Tobias Thorsen, and I'm a consultant at Copenhagen University Hospital. I'm also an associated professor at Copenhagen University, and I'm a consultant in otolaryngology.
That's an ear, nose, and throat doctor to you and me. Thorsen and his colleagues conducted a randomized trial in Denmark of about 2,600 people. Some got nasal swabs, some got throat swabs, and some got both. And some of them used the swabs on themselves, while others had a healthcare worker collect the samples. The scientists confirmed the presence of the virus with a molecular test, like a PCR test, and that's the gold standard of accuracy here.
We saw that there was a difference in when healthcare workers performed the test and you did it yourself. So when the healthcare workers performed the test, then the throat was 9.4% better than the nasal swab. We didn't find any significant difference between the self-collected swabs comparing throat swabs with nasal swabs.
So throat swabs were only more accurate when a healthcare worker did the swabbing. That makes sense. Speaking from personal experience, it's pretty hard to swab your own throat.
Yeah, and these are home tests, so going to a clinic to have a healthcare worker do one for you, it kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? But Todson found something else that was pretty important, and that's got to do with combining nose and throat swabs in the same test.
It's home testing. If you combine the nasal and the throat swabs, then you will improve the sensitivity about 15% compared to nasal swab alone, meaning that combined swabs, nasal and throat swab, will decrease the risk of false negative results.
Wait, so is he saying that swabbing your throat only doesn't detect more infections, but swabbing both your nose and throat does?
Yeah, exactly. They used two separate swabs in the study and then combined the samples. But since home test kits have single swabs, Todson suggests using them this way.
I would first make a throat swab on myself, and then I'll use the same stick for the nasal swab. And then I will handle the swab as you see in the instruction for the rapid antigen test you have bought.
But those instructions, at least in all the U.S. home tests, say to swab the nose only. And besides, the FDA hasn't approved any tests involving throat swabbing.
Yeah, look, Todson thinks that going both nose and throat will improve accuracy. Basically, you're hitting more places, so that improves the chances of grabbing some virus. But it's a bit tricky in the U.S. First of all, the swabs in our kits are pretty short. You want to get them to the top of your throat, kind of at the roof of your mouth and past your teeth. But it's hard to reach that area unless you stick your fingers in your mouth, too.
And that's even more likely to make you gag.
Sure is. I tried it myself just last night because I have sniffles and a sore throat. But like you, I made some icky sounds. If you look at that UK Health Security video, their swabs are a lot longer and easier to get in and out. And like you said, the US tests aren't calibrated for accuracy using both nose and throat. So we don't really know how well they'll perform. Todson's numbers say they'll lower the rate of false negatives, and some smaller studies back him up. But clearly, here the science is moving faster than the manufacturing. So I'll back up my combined swab with a nose-only one tomorrow. And meanwhile, I'm staying home. Anne and JD from Pennsylvania, I know that's not a cut-and-dried answer, but for now, it's what we've got.
It does look like these ambiguous results from home tests might get a little easier to navigate in the near future. The distinction between what positive and negative strips mean for your behavior might not be so drastic.
In what way?
Well, the CDC has just changed the COVID isolation period. A positive test doesn't automatically mean you need to stay home for 5 days anymore. The agency has shifted to letting symptoms be your guide. If you've been free of fever for a full 24 hours, without the help of medication, and your symptoms are mild and improving, you don't need to stay home.
Wow, that is certainly a change.
Yeah, it is. Some people might say the guidelines are too lax. You could still be infectious after your fever goes away, so it's not a perfect way to prevent all infections. But the CDC might be trying to give people guidance they're actually likely to follow, and treat COVID more like the flu and other respiratory infections now that we have some immunity and protection against it.
Your Health Quickly is produced by Timmy Broderick, Talika Bose, Jeff Delvisio, Kelso Harper, Corinne Leung, and by us. It's edited by Ella Fetter and Alexa Lim. Our music is composed by Dominic Smith.
Our show is part of Scientific American's podcast, Science Quickly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, give us a rating or review. And if you have a topic you want us to cover, you can email us at yourhealthquickly@sciam.com. That's yourhealthquickly@sciam.com. Just a quick request. My colleague Lauren Young and I are working on a podcast series on caregiving for older family members and the challenges of navigating care at home versus institutional care. We're hoping to speak with people who have experience caring for their own family members. Please email yourhealthquickly@sciam.com with the subject caregiving if you're interested. For Your Health Quickly, I'm Tanya Lewis.
And I'm Josh Fishman.
See you next time.